Mamdani, take it away. We're doing abundance. We're co-opting abundance. I hear we're co-opting abundance. Yeah.
As someone who believes deeply in the responsibility of government to deliver for working class people, I also believe it's our responsibility to deliver a government that's efficient.
I'm really glad my editors put the segment about how America is dying, the recent one, like the one about like bridge costs, on the main channel, because it's such a massive symptom of national decline. This touches on that, right? He's talking about like Doge business, you know, cutting waste, except actually.
With every single dollar being put to the best possible use. That's why 2 months ago, I asked agencies across city government to find $1.7 billion in savings without compromising essential services. Here are just a few things we've found so far. Even just by capping how much we spend on paper, pens, and office supplies, we're gonna save more than $27 million.
Cool.
The city was paying for a lot of work from outside contractors that was costing us far too much. So we're bringing a lot of that work in-house and saving our budget. Millions on things like IT services and software. We've also found that sometimes we've been overcharged for life-saving medicine, like naloxone.
Private contractors of Hitler. It is so fucked up. And like, this is a problem at every level, right? But especially at the municipal level, like as a percentage of money spent, a significant portion of your tax dollars, I would go so far as to say a majority in most cases, just are a transfer from the government to a private company. They're not about paying the government's wages or laying new roads or anything directly managed by the state. It's just handed from you to a company, oftentimes at exorbitantly high rates, you know, an incredible, because, you know, for a lot of the civic responsibilities that a city has to upkeep, like building or maintaining roads, the demand is inflexible. It's a lot like you in healthcare. It doesn't matter how much healthcare costs. If you get in a car accident, your ass is going to the hospital, right? It doesn't matter how much contractors charge the city for maintaining a road. The city needs to, like, there's a minimum here, right? Like, the city will not function if a bridge or, like, a main road doesn't work anymore. So because demand is inflexible, the contractors can all collude to charge whatever they want, which in a lot of cases is why these things take so long and are so expensive.
We're renegotiating that contract and saving another $1 million. Our contract with McKinsey at the Department of Social Services? No more.
Can't you choose another contractor? Yeah, but they're colluding. Also, often they have kind of a monopoly in an area. You know, it's not like there's an infinite number of contractors who can handle specific infrastructural city projects in a given area, right? A major city might only have a couple of firms, and they might have private agreements between them. Now, technically, industry collusion oftentimes is illegal, but in practice, it happens literally all the time. All the time. All the time. So, you know, you can take from that what you will.
More. That's $9 million that we won't be spending next year. The city rents lots of property it doesn't actually need. So we're going to shrink our physical footprint and save millions on leases. And we want to make sure that the programs we're delivering to New Yorkers are being used as intended. So we're going to strengthen verification to ensure that homeowners getting tax breaks are actually living in that home. This adds up to another $13 million a year. You've heard me say this time and again. In fighting a $5.4 billion fiscal deficit, we need to tax the rich and end the drain that's been our relationship with the state for far too long. As we pursue that, though, we also have...
So goddamn good. Keep in mind that, like, it used to be the case, at least in a lot of cases, that city infrastructure was built out through the government, right? Like post-FDR in particular. Like after World War II, a significant amount of municipal development was handled by the city or the federal government subsidies, you know. But like that means the people who were working to build it were directly employed by the city. So there was no bidding for the fees or whatever. They just did it, you know. But there has been more of a shift towards privatization over time. Not exactly true. Yes, it is. I'm not arguing. Always with the contrarianism with you. Yes, it is. The reliance on private-public partnerships for infrastructural needs being met has absolutely increased over time. The initial boom of private investment in infrastructure, like in the Wild West days, you know, companies own the railroads, they build out everything, you know, Gilded Age stuff. But the greatest era of American prosperity, which was from the end of the Second World War up until Reagan, that was the big window. there was a significant amount of public control over infrastructural development, whether that be direct, like government construction hired by the government, or that be like incredibly tight regulations and controls over private public partnerships. Always trying to start a damn fight with me, trying to pick on me when I'm tired. Didn't get any fucking sleep. Oh.
Have to take a close look at our own spending and cut waste wherever we can. When we're looking to put our city back on firm financial footing, no saving is too small. We'll keep you posted every step of the way. Because to deliver public goods, you have to first deliver public excellence.
Saw people talking today about how he canceled the $9 million McKinsey consulting project that New York City had been brewing for a while, sitting on it, you know? Where'd they get the prop money, though? You mean, where did New York City get the money for Mamdani's little stunt here where he pulled, like, $5 out of the cabinet? That's a good question. We should investigate this waste. Major theme is here, how do we make regulations and controls actually mean something? My opinion is that any kind of private market incentives for an inflexible demand, trying to keep those companies on the up and up, trying to keep them accountable, trying to keep them moral and well-regulated, is kind of like building, like digging a hole with shallow slopes and then putting a ball in it and trying to keep the ball from like falling to the middle. Like you're always batting it upwards, but you've built a slope pulling it down, you know? Yeah, it's a losing battle. You're literally fighting uphill. I think for stuff that has an inflexible demand, we literally, like, the whole point of capitalism is that the supply-demand curve allows the consumer and the producer to arrive at a mutually agreed-upon price. And there is a truth to this, right? Like, for a lot of non-necessary commodities, the price of the commodity is sort of like heavily influenced by what people are willing to pay. Look at, like, I don't know, a video game, right? Like, people price their video games based on what they think people are willing to pay for it. If a video game costs too much, like, that sucks, but, you know, you're not going to die over it. Healthcare, housing, food, these are things that you are going to have to buy no matter what. And city infrastructure, likewise, is an inflexible demand, at least at some points. The market incentives literally don't work. I believe market incentives work, by the way, for flexible demand commodities, for luxuries. That's what, but like that used to be the argument. The argument used to be like this was the window where this logic was most functional. But now I get like at some point in the past 300 years, we've shifted to being like, no, actually market supply and demand incentives are meant to work on everything, including inflexible demand. Why? Wait, when did the... Ridiculous. Adam Smith talks about this. Yes, Adam Smith does talk about this. Would luxury food be subject to the free market? Like, I don't know, a dragon fruit? I don't know, probably. Maybe, yeah. I can't imagine the government handing out, like, dragon fruit rations. But I don't know, maybe. Your jealousy of Jiang's viewership is so hilarious, man. Fuck, was that obvious? Good bait. 3 out of 10. I think it's really cool that... You know how a lot of people thought Jasmine Crockett was to the left of Tallarico? I think it's really cool that in New York City, Mamdani is branding himself not even as like the left guy, but just the guy who gets stuff done. The pothole fixing guy, you know? He's bragging, he's fixed 30, 50,000 potholes or whatever. I think that's fantastic, you know? Just associate people on the left with practicality, functionality, with urban renewal. You know, it doesn't have to be an ideological thing. Well, Cole, it is an ideological thing. The decision to be an effective mayor rather than just continuing to funnel money upward, that is ideological. But you, again, the average voter is cattle. The average voter is subhuman. You have to frame it so that the average person will just be like, I bet Mamdani directs taxpayer dollars to the public good because he's nice. It's because he's a nice guy. It's not because of politics. He's just a nice guy. I will vote for him 8 more times. Sure, whatever. Do you like me channeling the average voter there? Too well spoken for the average voter. Where, excuse me, average voter? Where's the drool? I'm sorry, where's the shit-filled underwear? Average vote, I wouldn't have recognized it. You would have had to tell me. Where are those fuck-ass holes-filled posts? The pothole blitz. Look at this Mamdani clip. Ah, I saw this one. This one's fucking good. He's so funny, man. He's so funny.
The day that I don't hear him yelling at me, it means he got priced out of this place. And I don't want that. I don't want that for him. I don't want that for anybody in this city. We need to make this a city where...
There was a heckler at a press conference.
It's affordable enough to yell at your politicians. If it's not that city, it's not the city I want to live in. Let's be clear about it. So let this be a city...
Fucked up that NYC... which is admittedly the capital of America, but fucked up that NYC gets to be the only like place in America having a good arc right now. You know what I mean? They're chilling the fuck out. Why can't it be me? Yeah. NYC is America to most people. I mean, listen, the city of New York is going to outlast the country of America for a very long time. You know, Rome outlasted the empire. The city is going to be there for a long time. You got to build stuff that'll last. Countries are abstract lines drawn around, for the most part, like empty land, you know? A city is distinct, material, concrete, literally concrete, now that I think about it. Countries are fake and gay. Yeah, 100%. I read an interesting article that talks about how NYC politics is awfully very different from the rest of the country because it's one of the few cities slash places where there are more renter voters than homeowner voters. Yeah, this is, it's another one of the things that I include when I'm doing the demographics argument too, when it comes to the replacement rate, which is like, do you really want a country where 80% of the population is middle-aged or older? Do you really want to live in a country where those are the voter demographics and only like 1/5 of the country is considered young? Like, think of how that would track onto people's political dispositions. Oh, you think everyone should own a home? There should be no renters? Oh, okay, well, let's take a look at how landowners vote, you know? Let's take a look at how, you know, people who own their own home vote. You know, just let's run the numbers on that. No, I think it's... We gotta reinvest people in the public good, okay? Everyone to your fucking state-built apartments. Everyone get in the damn commie blocks, okay? Get the fuck in there. Everyone, every family to a 600-square-foot apartment.
There was something that someone said at an iftar that we just hosted at City Hall the other night, which really stayed with me, though, is how Ramadan is also a lesson in the shallowness of instant gratification, of how you spend all day craving food and craving water and anything you could fill yourself with.
Hydration check.
As soon as you break your fast, just a few minutes into eating, you already feel full. And it's as if you didn't spend that whole day dreaming of that very moment.
We call it this.
You know, be a good emote. That one drawing of the fish laying in bed next to a big glass of water, and it's thinking about drinking a big glass of water, and the glass of water is like 10 times the size of the fish. That would be if that was cropped properly, that'd be a really fucking good emote.
City that never sleeps, but the atmosphere of New York City changes all of the sudden when Ramadan comes. All I think about is peace.
Can you show the image?
And quietness.
Many ask me what it means to be the first Muslim mayor of our city. And in that question, there is an assumption that I am introducing our faith to the city as a whole, when in reality, our faith has been a part of this city for generations. The question of whether it's been seen is another matter entirely. But Muslims and New York City...
It's so funny that American Muslims are more progressive than American Christians. It's crazy how shit whiplashed that. All the decades and decades of propaganda. It's crazy how fucking much Christians suck. Oh my God. Their lobbies don't have power is why? Yeah, it's probably a huge part of it for sure. Yeah, as a red atheist, I'm not bigging around doing religious stuff for government posts. I think, so I agree with you in theory. It is worth noting that we're living in like an era of Islamophobic persecution. So there is an element to that, you know, I think that's distinct from just general advocacy for religion. But also, like, New York City is the culture. I know there are other cities that are mathematically more diverse, but as far as I'm concerned, New York City is the capital of the world, and it's the most diverse place in the world, and it always will be. So I think that if you are meant to represent New York City, you have to be, like, the omni... You have to represent, like, all of Earth, basically. And I think that's good. I mean, we just went past, like, a St. Patrick's Day post, you know? Yeah, it's I think that's kind of, like, part of your job. And I think it's delightful. Yeah, I think that's delightful. It's not like he's not going to do an Easter post. Or he did do an Easter post. Yes! That's the one. End the segment with this. That's the one. Yeah! Such a good emote. What's the message? Don't worry about it. What does it mean? You people fucking suck. Shut up.